Tonight we're in the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20. Been a number of weeks, 21 weeks so far in the book of Acts. It could be a whole lot more, but we're just trying to take one chapter a night. We don't always get through, but most of the time. So tonight we're in Acts, chapter 20. We read about the last stages or the last part of what is called the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We have looked at journey one, journey two, and now last week we began the third journey where Paul starts out and spends 2 to 3 years there in the city of Ephesus and then moves on. And so tonight in chapter 20 we have this final section of this third missionary journey. We read of many people that were with Paul. We read of many places that he visited. And there's a lot of words here, a lot of cities. And I'm going to try to show them to you on the overhead and maybe give you a little bit of idea of how far they traveled and different things. If I can find them all, I have found them so far this afternoon a couple of times, but when you're reading and looking behind you and back and forth, sometimes it gets a little difficult. But the rest of the book of Acts, after we get out of this chapter, the rest of the time that we'll be studying, we'll be looking at some of the details concerning Paul's desire to return back to Jerusalem and his arrest and some of the trials that he faced. And then, of course, the end of the life of the Apostle Paul that's told to us in other places. Paul's a great man, great missionary, sold out 110% for the cause of Christ. And he says that he was a zealous person before he was saved. And that zeal was, I think, just a part of his life. Whatever he did, I believe Paul did it to the best of his ability. And God certainly used him, and Paul was available. And I believe the Lord can do the same thing for people today. I don't believe Paul was any superhuman person, as many of the other people in the Scriptures are not superhuman. They're just dedicated to the Lord. I know they lived in a different time. I know certain gifts were given to these apostles that we do not have, but we can have the blessings of the Lord. We can have the power of God upon us and see some results as they did in the salvation of souls and the winning of people to the Lord and the forming of that group into churches. And that's what we desire to do. That's what we try to do as we deal with missionaries as they come in and then missionaries out of our church. It's a thrill to me to be able to see the things happen in other areas of folks that have been connected with our church, because that is just an extension of what we are. And as I've said so many times, I believe every church ought to desire to be like the Church of Antioch, sending out people and giving them the message around the world. And so Paul certainly was that type of individual, and he has faced many trials. We have read of many things that he has come into, and to the from the Jews that hated him to the Gentiles that despised him and despised the message that he had. And so many of those things was very difficult. But he still kept his eyes on the Lord and focused upon God, and we see him continuing tonight in this journey. Now, in chapter 20, we really do not find any new churches started, but we do find a lot of places that Paul revisits concerning the ministry, concerning the gospel, and I believe that's very, very important in a ministry, that you not just win somebody to the Lord, but you train them, you teach them, you give them certain things that when you're gone, that somebody can carry on and take up the task that is before us. The world does not change. The world has always been wicked. The world has always been in sin. The gospel does not change. It's always been available to people, and it will win the lost. And the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so those things do not change. Sometimes the problem is we change and do not do the job that we are to do. But let's look in these first few verses here tonight. May just read some verses and then we'll turn on the map and sort of trace the places and have some things to say on these verses. And verse number 1 says, after the uproar was ceased. You remember last week, Paul was in Ephesus and there was a great uproar concerning him, and the city was very much adamantly against him there in Ephesus. So when the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him, and there's a number of people here that are listed. We'll see something about those in just a moment. But let's jump down to verse number 5. Says, these going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, and we abode there 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Every preacher loves that verse right there. He constrained them, he preached to them, and he preached unto them until midnight. So I guess sometimes it's all right. Only problem was, if you read a little farther, they had a difficulty. A fellow fell out and broke his neck and killed himself. And Paul preached him to death, I guess. But now, what Paul did, we cannot do. So I guess we better not try preaching until midnight, because we can't handle that. But here we find in these first few verses many different names given to us, and people's names and cities' names, and we want to try to look at those in just a moment. So we see here Paul leaving, and he's leaving Ephesus after the uproar had sort of calmed down. He decides that it's time to leave. He calls his disciples to them, and his departure here is given to us. He calls the disciples to them, and he embraces them, and I'm sure they exchange their love one for another. And then the Bible says that he made his way to Macedonia. We've heard this name many times in these verses. And as he goes through that area, as he travels through, he is discipling those many churches and many people that have been born into the family of God. And he would go through the cities of like Thessalonica and Berea and Philippi. We read those, that one, especially Philippi, listed there. And I believe Paul desired to see those converts grow in the Scriptures and to grow in the faith. And I believe every individual, especially every preacher, he desires for people to mature and to grow. We desire physical growth, yes, but I believe as important as anything is the spiritual growth that we get from studying the Word of God and from following after the message. And so we find here that he does this for 3 months, and the Jews was laying in wait for him, and he finds out the danger that is there, and he changes his travel plans, and he gets ready to leave from the port, and they are there to harm him. And there are many there that are devoted to the Apostle Paul. You have here the list in chapter 20 and verse number 4. We find there are those men that are listed as they accompanied him. They were part of this entourage that was moving and traveling through the different areas. Sometimes they would go before him. Sometimes they would go after him. I just unscrewed everything. I won't be using this light if I don't know how that happened. And they would go before him and would travel with him. Well, maybe we can see. I don't know. The devil doesn't like what we do. I'm sure somebody's got a pointer. Anyway, I'll turn it on and we'll try to figure out where they went. I can't do it without that. I'm sorry. It gets hot up here. The temperature, the heat just came on. Ah, good. All right, let me get my composure back here. And we'll try to figure out where Paul was and where he went in these first few verses here. He says, after the uproar ceased, he was in Ephesus and much trouble. And he decides that he's going to go to Macedonia. Now, that's a fair piece over here to Macedonia. And as he traveled, the Scripture again doesn't give us any kind of details on how long the journey was, how many miles or how much trouble was involved in that. But they go from Ephesus, and it tells you a little bit later on how they did this. But they end up in Macedonia. And there's Berea and the Thessalonica and Philippi. And there's Corinth that will be a little bit later. But we find that as Paul made this journey, he was taking and traveling and reaffirming the message that God had given to him, how that they had gotten saved. Now he's reaffirming and he's helping those believers to know what God would have for them and how that they would be blessed of the Lord. Just really teaching them, instructing them in the ways of the Lord. As we looked at verse number 4, we see these men that are with him, part of his group. We have, and some of these names are maybe a little difficult. We have a man by the name of Sopater of Berea. This is the only mention in the Scripture of this man. But we do know that he was from Berea, and so therefore he was from a good church. The Berean people were very noble, the Scripture says, and they daily they studied the Scripture. And so he was a part of this group of with the Apostle Paul. You have Aristarchus. He was a faithful servant of the Lord from Thessalonica. He is mentioned many times, a few times there here in the book of Acts and Colossians. You have a man by the name of Secundus. He was from Thessalonica. And they have Gaius of Derbe. There's many Gaiuses in the Scripture, and every one of them are spoken of as an individual that is good. Gaius was a very familiar name during that time. And so this was a man from the city of Derbe, where Paul had been and preached and people had gotten saved. Then you have Timotheus, or Timothy. He's probably the best, most well-known of all the men in the Bible that followed in this list and followed with Paul. And he was, every time he is appears in the Scripture, every time you find his name, you'll find that he is given very commendable conduct of himself and how that the Lord blessed him and how that Paul was certainly dependent upon him in many, many places. Later on, Paul writes to Timothy and tells him and even calls him his son in the gospel or the ministry. Then you have Tychicus of Asia. Paul calls him in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Paul calls this man a beloved brother and faithful minister, a fellow servant. So these are men that are working and active in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Then you have Trophimus of Asia. He was from Ephesus, according to the Scripture. 2 Timothy 4:20 tells about him just a little bit. And then when you read in verse number 6, and we sailed, or when you find in the book of Acts the word us, is always a representation of Luke. Paul calls him the physician. Luke is the doctor of the group, and he's the one that carries with him the desire to help in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul calls him the beloved physician. And so these are people that are with Paul as they make these journeys and as they are traveling. And they've gone now into to this area of Macedonia, and he's preaching and taking time to reaffirm the things of the gospel. And then in verse number 6, it says, we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, or after that time that Passover. There in Philippi, he stays a short time, and he sails from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So they make the trip from Macedonia and they into this area from Philippi, and they go to the city of Troas. So that it's a little short ways on a map, but it's a number of miles. and they come to the city of Troas. And after there, he stayed for a short time, and the meeting, they had a great meeting there. As we read about those things, and just a little bit, as they go to away from Philippi, they go to Troas, and Paul comes to the church, and they continue there until midnight, and they hear the gospel, they hear the preaching of the Apostle Paul. The day of the meeting, this is the first day of the week, this is when they come together, and this is the first time that's mentioned in the Scripture that the church met upon the first day of the week. Of course, we believe, we understand that the first day of the week being the Lord's Day, the first day of the week is not Sabbath day, it's not the Old Testament Sabbath, it's the New Testament Lord's Day. It represents, gives to us the day which Jesus rose from the dead. And we have the number, if you count it, eight. That number eight is the number of new beginnings. And in Christ, we certainly have a new beginning in Him. And so they come to an upper room. And they Paul, it tells us here that they came to a chamber there in verse number eight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And so many places many houses of that time had what they called an upper chamber or an upper room. And it was usually big enough for people to gather together and have some meetings. And sometimes the churches would meet in someone's house like that. And so as they are here in this city of Troas, they come and they preach and they continue. The Bible says he continues his speech until midnight. And it was a well-lit place, many lights. And I believe the Scripture gives us this for a reason, because the idolatrous temples and the temples of Diana and the temples of other places and the gods that they worshipped were always a place of darkness. It was always a place where sin would be on every hand, and terrible things would go on in the halls of those temples. When you come to the upper room where Paul's preaching, the Bible says there's many lights. And they came together, and the Bible says there was this one that sat in a window, and a certain man named Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep. Now, that's where a lot of Baptist people can identify also. When the preacher's preaching, sometimes we fall into a deep sleep. And I've seen some of that. And if you get me in the right place and right time, I can be part of that also. But he falls into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for this life, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. That means there's a whole lot comforted. But here we find that not only did he preach till midnight, but they had fellowship, they had talking, they had their gathering until the breaking of the day. The Scripture says here that they broke bread, they was eating, and they had a fellowship meeting after the preaching. And it lasted till the midnight hour, started at the midnight hour and went on until the day had come up. And now they have this meeting here, and the incident that took place, the duration and all the distractions and all those things came about. And then in verse number 13 through 16, we find that Paul leaves Troas and he goes to another area. Notice verse number 13. Again, we find the word "we." That's Luke doing the writing. "And we went before the ship and sailed to Assos there, intending to take in Paul, for he had appointed minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence the next day over against Chios." Now here we find they are at Troas. And Troas was a port city. And so they were going to sail around and go to Assos. And Paul decided he was just going to make the journey on foot. The reason for that, maybe he wanted to be by himself. Maybe he wanted to be alone with the Lord. It's about a 20-mile journey. So that was not, we would think it would be a terrible thing to have to walk 20 miles, but that was their norm. That's what many times they could do that in even one day. And so Paul decides that he is going to go on foot, and they meet up together there, and they took him in, and then they come to this city. Where is it? Troas? Mytilene. So they have to get on a ship, and they sail across there, and they come to Mytilene, and then I'm not sure how that is pronounced. That's mentioned there. And then we find, just in a moment, you'll find Samos, and you'll find Triglyphium and Miletus. That's where you end up. And so all in that area is where the Apostle Paul was traveling on this third journey. We can read it in a few minutes, but it took a few days for this to take place. So he goes and ends up finally in Miletus in chapter 20 and verse number 17. And the Bible says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now the rest of this chapter from 17, verse 17 to 38, deals with this time in Miletus as Paul calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus. And notice Paul had been there those two or three years. Paul had traveled through there, and he wanted to go get close enough that he could call the elders from Miletus or from Ephesus to Miletus, that they would travel down to where he was, and there he would spend some time speaking to them. And this is the rest of the chapter. This is really the chapter, the rest of the chapter that is for our main part tonight. It says he sent for the elders of the church, and Paul talks to them, and he tells them about his example. I believe every one of us tonight as a believer ought to be an example to someone. We ought to be an encouraging factor in someone's life. And Paul calls to their memory how that he had dealt with them, how he had been with them, how that he had preached to them, and how he had been a real friend to them. And he begins in these verses, and we'll look at all these things tonight. And I've just put out one word pretty much beside each one of these verses that tell us what Paul is saying. It says, when they were come to him, they'd made their trip now from Ephesus to Miletus. When they'd come to him, he said to them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me in the lying wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So as he is in this city, he calls for the church leaders of the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was a very vibrant church, a very growing church, a very important church. And so he calls those teaching people, those elders and pastors of that church, and he reminds them of his example. In verse number 18, he talks about his consistency. He said, you know that from the first day I came into Asia after what manner. I believe Paul was a very consistent individual. I believe he was one that was willing to do what it had to be done and to follow whatever direction had to be followed in order to get the job done, and he did it consistently in his life. I believe one of the greatest things that we have at our disposal is we all can be consistent. The problem is that we are not consistent. Consistent means we're the same tomorrow as we are today. And today we're the same as we were yesterday. And 5 weeks down the road, we'll still be the same. We'll not be tossed by every wind of doctrine. We know what we believe. We know where we stand. And so therefore, we are consistent in our life. And Paul says to these
Ephesus elders. He said, you know how that from the very first day, and then he begins to tell about the consistency of his life. He talks about in verse number 19 how that he was had commitment. He says in verse 9, serving the Lord. 19, I said, I was serving the Lord. He was committed to serving God. And he says, with all humility of mind, the condensation, he said, I came to you with a humility of heart, and even amidst the conflicts and the troubles and the temptations, he said, many tears and temptations which befell me, and lying wait of the Jews, and then also of the Greek. And he said, I had all these conflicts in my life, but he was consistent. Everything he did because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 20 and verse number 21 tells us how that he communicated with them. He showed them, he taught them, he testified to them. And verse number 31, over just a few verses, says, therefore watch, remember, by the space of 3 years, how I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so Paul, in his life, his communication, verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing. Paul said, everything that I had within me I kept back and I gave to you and did not hold anything back. And it was profitable that those things would be profitable to you. I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I believe Paul went to the individuals' homes and individuals' places of residence, and there they would teach and learn the Word of God. And Paul said, I want you to know I was consistent in my life. And I believe that's one of the great things about Paul's life was that he was consistent. He testified. He given a personal account of what God had done for him. He warns them to be careful, because he said there will come in those that will creep in unaware sometimes, and they will try to destroy. So you be aware of that. I would say that to Grace Baptist Church. I would say that to any place. There are those that would creep in sometimes unaware. We have to have our hearts and our eyes open to the right things of the Lord. And Paul said that he taught them publicly. That was maybe the church and the public meetings they would have, but he said also came house to house and taught you these things. And what he did at house to house and publicly was that he testified to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached to them salvation. Thank God tonight he had courage to do that. He was willing to do, and he preached unto them the message of salvation. And the Bible says here, that in verse number 23, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me, but none of these things move me. Oh, the great verse here in Acts chapter 20. None of these things move me, neither count I myself dear, my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says none of those things, the problems, the struggles, the disappointment, none of those things moved him or detoured him from what he desired to do that God had given him. That shows a lot of consistency, shows a lot of courage. He says in these verses here, he says, I don't count my life dear, but he did count the things that God had given him very important. And he said, I desire that I finish my course with joy. And I believe as Paul lost his life, I believe he could say that he had finished his course with joy. We read as he writes to Timothy, that young man that followed him and was with him, there in the book of Timothy, he says, I have finished my course. And he said, I've taken care of all those things, and therefore there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. Not only, Paul said to him, but to all of us that love the appearing of our Lord. So he had courage to do the things that was right and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse number 25, he says, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. This is Paul's a farewell message to those wonderful, beloved people, elders of Ephesus. He said, you're not going to see me again. He had been with them. He had been there for 3 years. He had been there and had struggled with them through the difficult days. And now, as he is making his journey, he comes close enough and calls those elders, and they come to where Paul is, and he preaches to them and tells them there at out of Ephesus, he tells them all these things that have come to him. Verse number 26, therefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He was clean. He said, I'm clean from the blood of all men. You see, the Bible tells us that if we do not warn, then the blood will be on our hands. The Old Testament gives us the watchman on the wall that is to be carrying out and crying out the call. And he is there to tell the message and to give the warning of impending danger. Well, if he does that and they don't listen, the blood is on their hands. But if the watchman doesn't say anything, then their blood is on his hands. And Paul said, I'm clean. Paul said, I've taught you publicly from house to house, day and night, consistent in your life. And he says, I'm clean because of that I have said. He says in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's an interesting verse, all the counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? What is what would be the counsel? I believe Paul was saying that he had given to them everything he knew was right, and everything that he knew was holy, and he said, I've declared it all to you. There are some things that are difficult. There's some things you don't like to preach. There's some things you don't want to preach, but God says to preach the whole counsel, to say it all. And Paul said, you can't accuse me of not preaching the whole counsel. Verse number 28, he warns them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Here's the exhorting that Paul gives to them. He gives them this message, take heed, be careful, be watchful, know your surroundings. We hear that all the time. If a person's traveling, you're supposed to be aware of your surroundings because there's always troubles, there's always possible problems in our world. Well, that's what Paul was telling to these folks in their spiritual life, take heed. Because there are going to be grievous wolves. There's going to be those that will come in and try to destroy the flock of God. And he said, oh, by the way, God's made you overseer. God's given you responsibility. And God has given these elders of the church of Ephesus responsibility to take care of what God had given them. It's a sad, terrible thing that's taking place in our country, that folks are not overseeing and taking care of what has been fought for down through generation after generation. Letting it slip, letting it slide, because it's easier that way. It's going with the flow is a lot easier than paddling upstream. But sometimes you got to go the wrong way, the different way, because everybody's going the wrong way. And so Paul tells these elders here of Ephesus, he said, you have to be careful. You have to be aware over the flock. That's the people of God. He said, be careful because God's made you overseer. A pastor is overseer. He is to take care of what God has given. And he, and Paul says to these elders and these leaders of the church of Ephesus, he said, because I know that after my departing, Paul says, I'm not going to be here anymore. My influence is going to be gone. And he says, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Do you know that the devil has people, has men, has folks everywhere that's just waiting to come in and destroy the house of God? Now, I believe that with all my heart. He's waiting for the opportunity and the time to destroy the people of God. Because if this church is destroyed, it's not just this church, but it's like a domino effect. It's everywhere else. And I was thinking the other day, we're just a small congregation. I mean, nobody knows us. Nobody realizes where we are or what we do. But I'll tell you what, there's some missionaries around the world that know us. There's some preachers around the country that know us. And if Grace Baptist Church falters and fails, Our community knows us. I can't even go to town anymore that somebody's not hollering my name, and I have no idea who they are. You remember me? I said, well, no. Because our church, through the school and our ministries, has had a great effect upon our community, and I thank God for that. But Paul says, be careful, because I know there are grievous wolves. The devil does not want Grace Baptist Church to continue as it is. Oh, he wouldn't care for it to go liberal and go modernistic like all the rest of them. They're not going to do anything anyway. So that's the issue now. Where are we going to stand? How are we going to stand? And Paul says, I know that the grievous wolves are going to come in among you. And you notice here what it says, not sparing the flock. Just give me my way. It doesn't matter about anybody else. And I've seen that happen time and time again. Fellow come in, destroy everything that's been built, everything that's been there. And he could care less if anybody agrees with him or not, because they'll leave anyway and I'll have it my way. That happens all the time. And Paul tells the church leaders of Ephesus, better beware. Better be careful. I've said a long time that I'd hate to be a church looking for a pastor, and I'd hate to be a pastor looking for a church. Because it's hard to get the right two together. And so we have to be careful. Have to be mindful and watchful of what's taking place. He exhorts them. He says, you've been called. You're overseers. You have a commission. Feed the church of God. Verse number 28, the latter part of it. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That makes me understand, makes me know that the church is pretty important to the Lord. He said, the Lord's purchased it with his own blood. Well, and somebody said, well, I thought the Lord died for people. Oh, he did. But when people come together, they form a church. And that fellowship of believers. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or overwhelm it. And so take heed, because we have a great building to continue to build. Take care of it. Verse number 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Paul said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul says here, I'm clean. I don't want... Paul said, I haven't wanted what you've got. Time and time again, the Bible or times will tell us that Paul, as a tent maker, would provide for himself. And he said, I'm free of men's blood. And then he said, I don't want your apparel or your gold and silver. Yea, yourselves, in verse 34, yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, I have worked and I've, with my hands, have taken care of the needs of those that were with that list of men that we read a while ago. I have shown you all things, verse 35, and so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. America has it all wrong. American people think it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. And we're struggling. But I have found, and I believe this church has found out, we can't outdo the Lord. You can't outgive God. You can't outgo Him. And so Paul tells these Ephesian elders, he said, you support the weak and you remember the Lord. Remember His words, how that He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Then in verse number 36, 7 and 8, we have Paul's exit. We've seen his example, we've seen his exhorting, now his exit. Verse number 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. What a way to end a meeting. Here the great Apostle Paul, he says, you'll not see my face anymore. He gives them this exhortation, he gives them this counsel. And at the end of it, they just kneel down and they have a prayer meeting. It says here, he prayed with them all. That means they all prayed. That means it was all involved. That means that everybody that was there was involved in this last meeting. And the Bible says in verse number 37 that there was passion for Paul. The Scripture says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. This this man that had gone into Ephesus knowing no one and going into that area and being hated by the Jews and by those around him, but because of his continued work with them, a strong church had been built. And they know now that this is the final farewell. They know that he'll not come back to Ephesus again. He had spent those 3 years. He had spent all that time. He ceased not to teach and to preach and to house and publicly. Paul was a minister that helped them in all their lives. And they know this is the final farewell. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And then verse number 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So he leaves, and as he is there talking to the people of Ephesus and Miletus, they accompany him to the ship. He's there getting ready to get on board again. He leaves their coast, and he's not going to return. And they are more upset about that than anything else. And so in chapter 21, we find that they go after, it follows from there, and it gives you some places we'll look at next week that they travel. And as he leaves the elders of Ephesus there at the seashore, weeping and crying because of their love for him, knowing that the next time they see Paul will be in eternity. You know, there's a time all of us when we come together. We may not realize it, but sometimes it may be the last time that we will ever see the person again. And what a blessed thought it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. To leave this world, and before we raise in the morning from a night's rest, our phone may ring and so-and-so has passed away, or so-and-so has had a wreck and they've been killed. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm sure glad I know who holds tomorrow. And I'm glad I know who takes care of it. And so as Paul was there with that church and those elders, they realized the next time they saw him is when they would meet in glory. And the only way that they would, and the only way they knew that they would meet in glory was because this man Paul ceased not to teach and to preach day and night with tears. I've got a little outline here on this chapter that somebody preached it and I wrote it down in chapter number 20. I just wrote it down. It says, what we can give. Verse number 18, we can give our time. Verse number 19, we can give our tears. Verse number 20, we can give our testimony. Tears is mentioned two or three other places. Testimony is mentioned verse number 24. Tears is mentioned again verse 31. Those are the things we can give. And that's what Paul gave to everywhere he went. He gave it his all. And no wonder he could say, I've finished my course. I've done it all that God gave me to do. Completed. Job finished. That ought to be the desire of every one of us sitting here tonight, that when we leave this world, people can say, job was complete. Finished task because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight as we've gone through this chapter real quickly, and I know a lot of places you may never see again, may never hear again other than the reading. But next time you read these verses, maybe it'll give you a little bit of a mental picture of where they're located and in that particular area where Paul ministered and preached, and we'll see some other places as he closes down this third missionary journey.